Good morning, everyone. We're going to start straight away. We have three amazing innovations teams to present to you this morning. So to give them the maximum amount of time, I think we'll start. Our first team is eLearning for Community Engagement. Our presenters will be Elizabeth Mulrennan and Guy Freer. The session involves an introductory talk and demonstration of the website placespaces.org.au. The session will describe a range of digital technologies used by the project, including UDO2, a teacher authoring program used for digital storytelling. So I will call up Elizabeth and Guy to tell us all about it.
Okay, well, welcome and thanks for coming along to our session. Guy and I work in outreach. Is there anyone here who's never heard of outreach before in TAFE? Okay, so we work with marginalised learners. We work in the inner city in Ultimo at Sydney Institute of TAFE. So we work a lot with people who work with agencies that work with homeless people. Matthew Talbot, if you've heard of Matthew Talbot. If you end up sleeping at Matthew Talbot, you may well end up as an outreach student. So that's probably the easiest way of describing that pathway. 18 months ago, Sydney Institute of TAFE received a large sum of money through the federal government through the social inclusion agenda for providing services, educational services and pathways for people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. And to do that, we needed to develop relationships with the agencies that work with those people, because it's huge. And we work particularly in the area of Woolloomooloo, we work in Redfern, Waterloo, and we work in Marrickville. And of course, the homeless people or risk of homelessness who live in Marrickville are not the same as the ones who live in Woolloomooloo. So we're not dealing with one territory, we're dealing with a vast territory. As part of that exercise, we had already decided that we would have a website that kind of embraced and supported people who were engaged in the project. Students, community workers and teachers. And so we're probably focused mostly on showing you the website, which is still in its developmental stages. But I'll just talk briefly about how engagement with the flexible learning framework kind of really nicely jigsawed into that. One of the many classes we teach in outreach at Ultimo TAFE, and I need to emphasise that not every outreach around the state teaches the same subject. They're often situational, depending on what's available in the area in terms of the needs of the community and also what the local case provides in the mainstream. So one of the classes we teach is called Community Engagement and Mentoring. And it often includes people who've actually lived on the streets themselves, been to jail, are dealing with all the things that our students deal with, drug and alcohol, mental health, issues to do with custody. If you can imagine coming out of jail, you have so much stuff going on. A lot of our students are offenders. Housing, custody of children, court appearances, probation and parole. So often people who come to outreach spend more than one semester with us. And the really significant thing about our courses is that it's free. So they can then go on and use their discounted confessional courses elsewhere in TAFE when they develop skills and confidence. The Community Engagement and Mentoring Program is run over, it's run two semesters a year, and people often then pathway from that into a certificate 3 or 4 in welfare or community services or drug and alcohol or youth work. And we wanted to start to have an arrangement whereby we would have a form of blended learning, so to encourage students to put up learning objects onto the website or onto an online environment. And it became apparent that the obvious place to host all the stuff we were going to create and get students to create would be the website. So that's really probably the most important part to start. And then we'll keep adding on bits of... Is that all right so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, Guy will probably show you a few of the things and maybe then we'll talk a bit about some of the challenges we've had. Because if you've been on a project this year or in previous years, you know that the funding doesn't always, or the process doesn't always take you to the successes you envisage when you started out. And it always takes you to different ones.
So I guess the first thing when we were talking about the site or what type of site to have, the first thing, because we're dealing with community engagement stuff, the first thing immediately jumps to mind is a social networking site. But big problem in TAFE, Facebook is banned. You can't access it. Somebody was raising the question in a seminar yesterday, you know, how am I supposed to teach what's going on in all of these areas if we can't actually access the main example of social networking sites? And of course there's all sorts of reasons why we shouldn't, why TAFE bans it, and some of them are valid and some of them maybe not. But so we couldn't do it through another social networking site because TAFE has all of its barriers up about that kind of thing. So our idea then was, well, we'll create our own social networking site. And the way we did that was by using software called Joomla, which is a CMS that actually was originally developed in Australia, and now it's quite a... It's open source, it's free, so you just download it, install it on the server. And another component that goes with it is called Joom Social, which is, you do actually have to buy it, but it's only about $100. And together, installed on a server, you can create a social networking site if it's going to...
Well, guys, just help me to open that. I'll just explain one of the reasons, a significant reason of choosing this pathway is if we teach students how to use social networking and using websites and building their own websites, most of our students could not afford to buy anything. So using open source software is really an integral part of the access approach to learning and teaching.
So those of you who know Facebook, which is probably everybody in the room, you can see that a lot of the visual cues on the screen are very similar. You've got friends, you've got groups. If you go down the page, if we actually go to a group. So these are some of the groups that have, as Elizabeth said, this is in its really first stage. The project that it's representing is a 3-year project, and sort of over the next year or so, we're hoping to essentially populate this site. But these are the kinds of groups that we've already got running, and these are all related to courses that are running through the outreach. So they're all, some of them are digital media classes like digital storytelling. Others are more around community engagement. This is somebody who is advocating for greater health services in rural areas, and we can show you a piece of work. Living sustainably, events, accessible gardens. We're working with a group called Kids with Ability, of kids in wheelchairs who want to get into community gardens but they can't. Community engagement mentoring. So these are all the sorts of groups, and if we actually go to one of these groups, then you'll see. So the idea being that anyone who's enrolled in these classes or even is just interested in it, I mean, it's open, it's not locked down. Anyone can register, and if you want to check out the site more, that's the thing to do, is just to go up and register. It's just a simple form. So once we're in the group, we have all, you know, you can create a bulletin, you can create a discussion, students can create an album of their photos, and for digital media subjects, they can link to video work that they've done as well. So this is all the sort of stuff that we need to do for our classes that we weren't actually able to do in the current system. And working with a Moodle as well doesn't, while it's good to classroom management in terms of the types of students that we have, who, you know, being able to learn something fairly quickly because there's already a template out there like Facebook that we can just go, well, it's kind of similar. So that was the pathway that we took with that.
While you're doing that, I'll just talk a bit about digital storytelling.
Yeah.
One of the significant aspects of our students is that they have low level literacy and numeracy, and that includes digital literacy. And over the last probably 6 years since I've been working in outreach, I've realised that actually digital literacy is the best literacy to engage people in education. I used to teach a group of ex-offenders, and they say, oh, I don't want to learn a computer, I just want to be a forklift driver. Well, if you want to be a forklift driver, you don't have to use a computer, because that's how they're working towards. And how many people use an ATM and a mobile phone, and their hands up and say, you're already using a computer. It's cool, you haven't broken down yet, you want both hands. And so getting people to practice in blogging or just playing on the internet. I remember years ago, before we had the site blocked, one of my students, who was a quite personally decorated person himself, loved looking at urban art websites, graffiti. And I said, do you like this? Do you like looking at the internet? Oh, this is so much cooler than just looking at porn. What a great way to reflect on learning.
With that issue as well, because I've actually been, my involvement started with working at the Ozanam Learning Centre, which is a new learning centre attached to the Matthew Talbot Hostel. And we started teaching digital storytelling there. And it's it's quite an interesting program, because when we thought of, we're thinking of a way, we were asked basically to teach computer skills, computer and sort of basic multimedia skills. And it's how do you actually teach that to that type of group there? And so the whole idea of digital storytelling has sort of emerged in the last 10 or 15 years. And getting people to actually tell a story, but then by just using simple things like, you know, digital images and recording sound and recording their story, then essentially you're just making a slideshow and putting that into and then being able to upload it, then being able to link to it and so on. You're sort of flying a lot of computer skills under the radar of a kind of storytelling project, you know, and there are interesting. What came out of that is with the group that we're working with the homeless particularly. I mean, there's a whole lot of really interesting other things going on because they took to it like ducks to water, and they love it. And you get some of the most digitally kind of able people in these classes where you think there wouldn't be the skills, and quite a lot of it as well is around this idea where it's a forum where people can maintain an identity, a virtual identity, where there's parts of the real world that they don't really want to engage in. And the idea of people staying in contact, homeless people staying, people who've disappeared for whatever reason, but probably would like to stay in contact somehow. This forum, this kind of online world, is the perfect place for them to do it. They don't even have to have their own picture. They can have an avatar, and they can let whoever they want to know, well, I'm still here, and I can, you know, I can update this once a week. I can tell you where I am. They don't even have to pick up the phone if they don't want to and call home, you know. And so that whole issue, you know, came out around that, and has been a really interesting part of our project. But we haven't even got to you, Tutu. But I just thought maybe this isn't a homeless person's example, but it is an example of a digital story. It's only very short, but then you get the idea of the kinds of things that we've been working with.
I know the seasons will change by the time I get home, but the community remains unchanged. I know the crops have grown, been harvested, but the specialists still only travel once a month. I know I will be home and at peace, but so many will have to face difficulties accessing medical treatment and facilities just because they don't live near a big city. It was in the big city, with however millions of people, that I felt alone, discriminated against and isolated. People ask, how can you live somewhere so remote? And I say, because we are resilient. We look after each other, the strong sense of community and belonging. It was a sense of community that kept me going, knowing that when the chemo and radiation was finished, I could return home. That's when the real healing and recovery could begin.
Developing skills. And it took 10 weeks, Catherine, to be able to do that. And we spent a lot of time working on the script. And suddenly in the last few weeks, people have come together. And she felt such a great sense of achieving and of overcoming some emotional difficulties that she didn't share with us. We didn't keep all our students. Some of them disappeared for various reasons, but they've all got other projects they're working on. So that's, thank you for
Sorry, we've had to sort of skip very quickly across a lot of things and actually miss some things. But if you do register on the site, then you'll just be able to explore it. You'll have to excuse us, like our project really has been to do a lot of the architecture and construction of it and design how we want it to work. So some of the content isn't there, but you can register on it, you can join groups, you can join the place network. Oh yeah, you can look at it without joining, but if you want to look at a lot of the content and that stuff, then you need to register. Some of the stuff is just showcased on the front end, but to join the forums, we didn't even get to the CCD forums, but anyway. I mean, part of the whole thing that we were doing is it was specifically designed. All the courses that we're doing are specifically designed. We work with free software. All of the students that we work with usually have some kind of troubles accessing computers or they don't have much money, essentially. So all of the software that we use is sort of either open source or free software. So essentially what the skills they learn in class, they could go home and with a basic computer, without buying anything, they could do what they did in class. And that's part of what we do. So
once they use YouTube, and once they learn YouTube, then they can make it a public thing. But in answer to those questions about access, I mean, some of our students don't even have access to a computer at home. They don't have an internet camera.
Yeah, I mean, but they don't. But, you know, you'll generally find that people, you know, if they might not have cameras, but they'll have a phone with a camera on it. So we use, you know, the whole idea is you use what you've got to do what you can, essentially, without going... We're not going high tech. We're going the other way. It's the buzzword is the digital divide. You know, there's the people who have access to the technology. A new world is opening up to them. There's people who don't, and that's an issue. So that's kind of what we're concerned with in these courses.
Thank you, Elizabeth and Guy. That was an excellent presentation, and having gone out to visit you and meet some of your students, I highly recommend that.